Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rankings reveal last night for the college football playoff. Are we seeing some flaws in the system? Open lines, 248-539-9797. I think there are some hypotheticals that can get people worked up, but I thought they did a good job last night. I thought they ranked the SEC in the proper order for what has happened so far. I think that the whole Boise thing is going to surprise people today, but as of today, is justified based on results on the field. And if you're unhappy with any of this, that's the beauty of it, guys. You can earn your way in still if you're unhappy with what's happened so far. I don't really know that anybody is going to have much of a complaint. Just go win. If you're Indiana, well, what if we lose and we get left? Just win. I mean, John, it's in front of everybody. I don't think Indiana should fall out if they lose to Ohio State, if they're competitive in that game. But some people have already started that hypothetical. If you win, there's no complaints. If you're an SEC team, what if we lose the SEC title game? How about you just win it? How about winning? That's the whole point of playing the game. What if this team that finishes fourth in their conference doesn't get in? Wah! Better luck next year. I think this system, for the most part, and I have one minor critique, is working. The one thing I would tweak, John, is I would say, yes, conference champions should have an automatic spot, but I don't think they should get automatic buys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand if you put BYU and Boise and Miami in as conference champions.
And they get their gold star.
But I don't think they should be guaranteed bye weeks or preferential seating. They may end up as the four worst teams or the three worst teams. That's the only tweak I would make to the current system.
Right, because as it sits right now, Oregon would be the one seed, they get a bye. Texas is the two seed, they get a bye. I think
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're not going to argue that. But in regards to Miami, Boise State, BYU, the other champs of those other conferences, are they better than Georgia, Penn State, Ole Miss, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State? Like that, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with automatic bids, but not automatic buys.
Okay,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's where I think I don't think there should be automatic bids.
No.
No. And so are you telling me right now that BYU, and this could be a season where a power, quote-unquote power conference, is left out of the 12-team playoff. If you're not good enough to be in, then why should you just get why should you get an automatic spot to participate if you haven't done enough or your resume isn't good enough? And this goes to, and trust me, I know what I'm saying, this Indiana, if they lose one game, they lose their biggest matchup to Ohio State, they may be out. But it should simply be the 12 best teams. But then you get into what is the criteria?
Ding, ding, ding.
Because you don't have a lot of crossovers. You don't have all of these conferences playing each other. And so you don't have common opponents. We have a common opponent when we're talking about Boise State. Now, they took Oregon, the number one team in the country, early in the season, and I think Oregon is maybe the most improved team over the course of the college football season. They lost by a field goal at the end of the game to the number one team in the country. Now, they weren't the number one team in the country at that time, but that's certainly a resume builder. Craig, you seem like you want to say something.
I do. Thank you, John. Here's why I disagree with you. I think that college football for too long has been ruled by subjectivity. We voted on national championships. This team looks better. this team. Look, they're from the SEC. It's a better conference. It just is. I think that what conference championships do is add an element of objectivity to the sport, which it needs.
I agree with that.
It does, but if you play in that game, if you're willing and you've been good enough throughout the course of the season to earn a spot in the championship game, should you ultimately be penalized and jumped by a team that wasn't good enough to even make it to that game?
I don't think that extreme scenario is going to happen, by the way. I don't think Tennessee with two losses will get in over a three-loss Georgia that beat them head-to-head,
for example. Most likely there's going to be a three-loss team coming out of that SEC championship game.
Yes. I mean, unless Texas were to make it with one loss and lose.
And then
only messes it up in a different way. But you don't want there to be auto bids for conference champions. So
no.
You don't want to guarantee the ACC and the Big 12 a spot on an annual basis.
Why would you?
Because to me, it's hard to determine the best teams, which is the goal, because we don't get enough cross-pollinization. You only play 12 games. You only play three non-conference in some cases. It's hard to make definitive statements that five teams in a conference are better than the best team in another conference when we don't get enough of a data set to do that. This incentivizes you to win your conference. It doesn't take entire sections of the country and rule them ineligible. We want everybody to play their way in. You have chances in the Big Ten, in the SEC, to play your way in. The same should be true in the ACC and the Big 12 and the Group of Six. Play your way in, settle it on the field. You have ample opportunities.
Well, and this is why they need to go to a two-conference system. And I think eventually we will get there for the college football playoff side of things. It doesn't mean that the Big 12 has to go away because it is a basketball conference. We're going to have a completely different conversation come March when we're talking about bids in the NCAA tournament. I do think that the Big 12 is a basketball conference. They're basketball schools.
A lot of them, yeah.
And so you look at this and you say, well, what's the ultimate situation? The ultimate situation is college football separates itself. You have two conferences and you set it up in a way where you have divisions, you have two sides of a league, and I'm basically describing the NFL.
Yes.
That's how you end up getting rid of all of this discussion.
It cleans it up. Are people willing to go that far? So, John, as we look at this right now, and by the way, 248-539-9797, people's gripes are going to be different. Some people have issues about Indiana's resume right now, right? Their schedule, I think, is outside the top 100. They don't yet have a marquee win.
To your point, they can solve it on the field.
Yes, and if they lose to Ohio State by 100 points and they get left out, I'd feel bad because I like the story, but I ultimately would say you're fourth in your own conference, cry me a river. The thing that bothers me more, though, is the SEC, where you have teams that didn't just lose one game. They've lost two, and in some cases may lose three, and we have to cram in a fifth team from that conference. You have enough advantages already. You had enough opportunities already. You're not good enough. Sorry that no one's told you that in your life. You're not good enough.
But you're playing a much more difficult schedule, by my perception, versus what the Big 12 is playing, or the ACC.
But the question is, okay, Florida. Is Florida a tough game? Georgia really struggled with Florida, right? Miami blew the doors off of Florida. Is the ACC better? You see, you can't do one-offs. It's really hard
BYU
to do that.
BYU lost to a three-win
Kansas team. Yeah, exactly. Right. But I'm talking.
But that's supposed to be their conference champion.
So, but LSU would be considered part of that meaty middle of the SEC, the meat grinder of the SEC. They're not the best, but they're really tough. They lost to USC. Like, how good is the SEC? Is it possible that they are not as good as they once were, that this is a down year in the SEC, yet people feel like they need five teams based on history, not what's actually happening on the field?
Because they are participating in the SEC, they should be awarded a spot in the playoffs.
Well, Greg, that is the key.
Shouldn't there be credit for playing a tougher schedule?
Participating in a tougher schedule, John?
Playing a tougher schedule.
Participating in a tougher schedule.
Okay, so if you're BYU and you end up losing to a team that's only got three wins at this point of the season, how much does that penalize you? I mean, we could be talking about a team in Colorado that ultimately participates in the college football playoffs that got boat raced by Nebraska.
Nebraska, they have two losses right now. I think they lost to Kansas State, too. Yeah, two-loss Big 12 team could still get in.
So you're telling me that Colorado is better than Ole Miss?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't think if you
I think both are going to get in as of right now, to be honest with you.
You think Colorado gets in?
If they win out, they will get in, and Ole Miss will get in.
But do you think they'll win out?
I do. I actually do think they're going
to
win out.
They have to beat BYU.
Which I think they will.
Right. So, because their other two games are
But I think both will get in, John.
Well, yeah, but everybody thought BYU was playing an easy team in Kansas, even though the line didn't say it was.
That conference is garbage now. It doesn't even come.
So why should they get a seat at the table?
I would say I don't have a problem with one. Hey, if you win a big conference, because then you would almost argue, well, then why should Boise? And then you go down the road, well, beyond Miami, and oh, well, you're going to have 11 SEC and Big Ten teams. I mean, I think that gets a little extreme, so I don't have a problem with the conference champs. I do want to bring this
just to be clear, that is what you want, because you don't want auto bids, you don't want auto
I'm not
buys.
Saying I want
you want
all
the 12
big
best
10.
Teams.
Yeah,
and
12 best teams.
And in your mind, that is those conferences.
Right now. Now, in another 2 years, we've seen with Indiana, it could be completely different.
I just think, like, I'm listening, it's a great passionate debate. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here, and that's the beauty of college sports. I think the same thing happens sometimes at the NCAA tournament. But I was talking to Greg, and I was like, you know, what if you brought back the BCS rankings and they strictly determined the top 12?
The computer rankings?
Yes.
Or we're going Greg Palm?
To a degree, yeah.
What if they determined the seven teams that got in as at large? You still preserved conference titles and winning your conference, but
they
then
don't,
the next seven were computerized.
Those rankings objective. Don't care what conference you're in or anything. They strictly look at the data.
But my point is, I think data can be hard to glean when you only play three non-conference games
right.
to make these determinations, sweeping determinations, by the way, over who's the best conference. Not team. You're making sweeping conference-wide decisions. I think team by team, you can do that. I think when you start factoring in what we think the gauntlet of the SEC is, now Vandy's good, apparently. Like, we make these propped-up arguments to help the SEC that we don't in any other conference.
And we're also using old arguments and biases with conferences at a time when parity is becoming bigger than ever. So what you just said about Vandy there, yeah, Vandy ain't old Vandy. You know why? Because they can add guys in a portal and flip things quicker than
any other time in college football history.
Indiana's the Vandy of the Big Ten, but because their record's so good this year, you just can't deny that they're good. But I think an argument can be made that maybe they don't belong. We'll see what they look like in Columbus. You know, it's just there's so much subjectivity here that I really do think some, at least part of the formula, should be computer-based.
Here is one of the other fixes. Instead of playing the directional schools in the first three, you have to have the Power Four conferences playing against each other.
John, I would love if we could get 9-game conference schedules standardized. You know who could really use that this year? The SEC, because they'd have one more game to try to knock some of these teams out and solidify more of the good teams. If everybody played 9 and then you required at least one power crossover, that's a 10-game sample. Maybe you make it 11. You're allowed one cupcake game, one group of six or FCS, but then you got to play 9 in your conference, one or two power opponents, so that we do get true cross-section of who's good and who's bad.
Some of your crossover, we'll talk about it. We'll keep going.
We got calls. We'll get to it. It's all coming up. 97.1.